So let's just pray before we begin. Father God, we just want to thank you. We thank you for today. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. Father God, we thank you that we can gather here in your presence and give you glory, give you honor, and give you praises. Lord, I ask that they will hear you through me and not me, that the word that you want us to hear, Father God, that it will come forth from my mouth, but it would be your word. Father God, I am your vessel. Use me for your will. Let your name be glorified in everything that is said and done. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. So we are in 1 Samuel 5. And, you know, Samuel, I've read Samuel so many times, but every time you read Samuel, it gives you a different insight on how God does things. And the thing that I love about God, a lot of people might say, oh, God is a very strict God, or God is a God that he punishes. But he does punish, but before God punishes, he always gives a warning. We have so many warnings and so many signs where God is directing us, listen, this is not the way that I want you to go. This is not what you need. But because of our nature, we always think like, oh, I know what is best. And this is basically what was happening in 1 Samuel 5. So I'm just going to do a little touch up because there's something that I want to say, but I think it came when Steppy did 1 Samuel and when... What was her name again? I forgot her name. Hannah, yes. Hannah was weeping and praying and asking God to let her have a child. And you know, the Bible says she was going through it for many, many years. But what I love about Hannah was her persistence. Even though every year they would go up to the temple to pray or whatever, and Peniah had kids, Hannah still went. Even though she would come back and she'd be weeping and she wouldn't eat, she always still had that faith somewhere inside of her. Okay, God is going to come through for me. Even though she wasn't seeing it, year after year she didn't see it, but she believed it. And one day, just because of desperation, and that's the thing, sometimes we only seek God wholeheartedly when we are in a state of desperation. When things are going according to plan, or maybe we think we have a bit of control over our lives, we don't really go and pray as much. I know I can speak about, from my personal perspective, like if things are going good, there's some mornings I'll wake up and like, oh, thank you, God, I need to be going. But let a child come. I'm up at 3 o'clock, shut up, I'm praying. And then I'm thinking like, oh, girl, that's not good. You need to be praying like that all the time. Not just when things are not going your way. So I just say that to get into what they were doing here. So we knew the ark of God was taken. And it was taken because they requested a king. And I was thinking like, you've got the sovereign God on your side. You might not be able to see him directly, but you have seen his hand at work. You have seen him with you while you came from Egypt with Moses. You've seen him part of the Red Sea. They've seen everything that God had done, but still they wanted a king. Anyway, they got the king. We know how the story went. That didn't work out too well for them. Because Saul then became full of too much pride and he wanted to please the people and not the Lord. And that's where we get sometimes as children of God. We compromise. And we want to please people instead of what is standing on what is right, on what is God's way, whether or not people agree with us. Because at the end of the day, when we die and go to heaven, it is God that we have to answer for everything that we have done. Not our children, not our parents, not our friends. It is us that have to answer to what we have done with the life that God has given to us. And if we were productive, and if we impacted the life of others and the characteristics of our heart. Because it's not all the actions that we can do, because we can be so good, but our hearts are not in the right place. Amen. So we're just going to be going on. Thank you. See? Lucy feels my pain. So we're going to start. Verse 1. After the Philistines have captured the ark of God, they took it from Ebenezer to Ashdod. Then they carried the ark into Dagon's temple and set it beside Dagon. When the people of Ashdod rose early the next day, There was Dagon fallen on his face on the ground before the ark of the Lord. They took Dagon and put him back in his place. Now, when I was reading that, I actually laughed. I was like, okay, you go and you take an idol that you have made and place it beside the ark of God, which is basically a covenant. It's a covenant where the Israelites believe that God was residing. But we know that God is sovereign. We know that God is everywhere. So even though their faith was that, okay, God is here in this ark, we knew that he is everywhere. The ark was just a reassurance, like, okay, you have this with you. You always know that I am with you, just like the Bible. We have the Bible with us. We know that it is God's word. We have his word in our hearts. We carry it everywhere. We carry God with us wherever we go. And that is basically what they were doing. What I love is that they brought God, the ark of God, and placed it. And I can imagine they placed it like kind of anyhow because they felt victorious that they had got the ark of God from the Israelites, because to them it was just a charm. So they were thinking like, okay, if I take this ark, I am going to remove the power that the Israelites had. And that was the mistake, because no one can take God's power because he is God. So watch how Dagon was found on his hands and knees, basically on his face in the kneeling position before the ark of the Lord. So they come in and they see it. They pick it up. They put him back up. This piece of wooden idol, I presume. Okay, so it said, Dagon fell on his face on the ground before the ark of the Lord. His hands and his head had been broken off, and they were lying on the threshold. Only his body remained. This is why to this day, neither the priests of Dagon nor any others who enter Dagon's temple as Ashdod steps on the threshold. Now, when they went in and saw Dagon on the floor, they picked him up. But I love my God. God can never be mocked. God cannot be put in a box. I believe God will say, okay, I've put you to lie on the floor and they've put you, I'll break your hands and your legs. They can't move. They can't put you anywhere. Because in their mind now, they would have thinking, okay, it fell over. But coming the next day and seeing the hands and the legs and the head off, it did not fall over. They knew then that it was God. And the fear then came in because God now was among the Israelites' enemy. And I like how the sovereign Lord works, because you know we can be in a place where we're working and there's this one person that is out to get us. And every day you go to work, you try your best to be peaceful. But one day they might do something that, you know, is detrimental to your job, but you might just go into the bathroom or your lunchtime and have a little prayer. But in that prayer is a ramp. And you're like, God, I need you to show up for me because I cannot fight this battle on my own. And you go back to your desk, you sit down, you've forgotten about it 2 days after you heard that person got sacked. Not definitely that they might get sacked, but they might move to a different department. Because the Lord said, touch not my anointing and do them no harm. So if we are anointing and if we are walking in that anointing and we do consider ourselves as the children of God, we have a weapon to rise up against the enemy. We have the authority to silence the enemy. We have already been given our weapons of warfare to win every battle that is going to come against us. We were not designed to fail. The enemy makes us think that we have been designed to fail. We have not been designed to fail because the Lord said he has made us in his own image. So if we are made in the image of God, how can we be defeated by the enemy? The enemy is under our feet. And now is the time for us to realize, like, devil, everything that you're coming with, you have done that before. You only come a little bit sneaky because we've become aware, but we already have the weapons to destroy every tactic of the enemy. If it's our children, God take them. They belong to you. You just put them inside my tummy for me to push them out, but they belong to you. You created their character. Now you fix it, because I have done all that I can. So Lord, I leave them to you. If it's our finances, you are Jehovah Jireh. So if that is your name and I am your child and you gave up Jesus to die on the cross for sins to me, what is money or you can't give me? What is my finances that you can't fix? Because giving up a life of your son is way more extreme than blessing us. But he does it because he is God. And everything that he does in his own time. And if we become disobedient to the Lord, we will suffer the consequences. Because God is not a partial God. He does not pick and choose. Oh, I'm not going to punish Steppy because she's been walking with me for 33 years. But I'm going to punish Carrie because she's only been there, say, maybe about 3, 4, 5. I've not been there 3, 4, 5 years, please. Just saying. No. It's our hearts. And why we do the things that we do. Because at the end of the day, we cannot say, I am walking with the Lord, but you don't like this person. Or I'm walking with the Lord, but I don't want to help this person. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do it. It's not a I walk. It's a we walk. And Pastor Rob said something today that the Lord is moving and he is going to restore England. And I do believe that he is, because Christians are rising up. Christians are being bold. They are standing out. Like, I had a job interview virtually though. Because I've not done an interview in ages. But as we're doing the interview on Zoom, the guy was like, are you willing to work Sundays? I said, no. He was like, pardon? I said, no. I said, I'm a Christian, and I'm not going to work on Sundays. He's like, oh, I'm sorry there, you can't have the job. I said, that's fine. Bye. But there was a reason behind it. Because whenever I prayed, I always used to say, Lord, when I am able to work, Sunday still belongs to you. So I have to be reminded that even though I'm living in a blessing, I have made a covenant with God that I need to stick to. Because if I come out of that covenant, out of that alignment with him, whatever happens to me on that path, I cannot say, God, it's you. But I know I can call on his name to rescue me. But it would be because I did not stick to what I said to him. Basically, like what the Israelites have done in this instance. So we are moving along. The Lord's hand was very heavy on the people of Ashdod and its vicinity. He brought devastation on them and afflicted them with tumors. When the people of Ashdod saw what was happening, they said, the ark of God of Israel must not stay here with us, because his hand is very heavy on us and Dagon our God. Now that's the thing that really got me. I don't understand. Like, you see it, you still don't believe it. You're saying the hand of God is very heavy on the people of Ashdod and Dagon. Dagon is on the floor with broken legs, broken hands, and the neck off. What can Dagon do to rescue you? Call on the living God. Because if you have the knowledge to understand that it's God that has caused all of these things, how can you not have the knowledge to ask God to forgive you and repent? Now, I had a friend, he was a Rasta. I don't know if you could hear me now, he would die with laugh. And we always used to go back and forth about Selassie and Jesus. So he always used to say, oh, Selassie is God. For people that don't know Selassie, he was an Ethiopian that went to Egypt and those places in Ethiopia and brought people and brainwashed them that he was a god. So as people began to get dreads, what you guys call it, we call it locked, started to get dreads, they believed that he was God. So one day we were going back and forth about it, and I said to him, listen, anytime you're ill, tell me who you call upon. Anytime that you're in pain, tell me if you say, Selassie, I heal me. And I'll give you that. You know, a few weeks after he got ill, And we were speaking on the phone, and he rang me. We were speaking, and he was like, "Oh my God, heal me." I said, "So where is Selassie? He ain't got no power." I said, "He's a thief. He stole all the jewels from Ethiopia and brought them for himself and fooled you that he was God." So then he said to me, "How do you know that God is God?" I say, "I know that God is God because he lives within me. That is how I know he is God. I might not be able to see him, but I feel him." And it's like the wind. We can't see it, but we feel it and we believe that it's wind, but it could be something else, couldn't it? But we have been conditioned to believe that it is the wind. Until we have seen something else, we go that it is with the wind. Same thing as a non-believer. We might not believe that the Lord is the Lord until we have an encounter with him. But when we have an encounter with him, we know that he is God. And that is why testimonies are so important. Testimonies are supposed to be shared that people can know, listen, my God is active and always on the throne. God has never left us. It is us that we drift away from him because of circumstances that are happening. And we think that we can get things done and do things the other way. And then we're like, God, you are so far from me. God has never moved. It's us that move. Because when trials come and they're too heavy, most times we just sit, we cry, we lock ourselves away in the room. We don't want to come out and say, listen, I'm struggling. Today I am struggling. Steppy can tell you, when I come to toddler's school, if there's a problem, I get her in the kitchen and I'm crying my eyes out. And we are praying because at the end of the day, the battle does not only belong to me. I am walking with my brothers and sisters in victory. So therefore, when I can't carry myself, I know that there's a community. I know that there's a church. I know that I have a family in Christ that I can run to. And when I'm down, they will lift me up. So if Steppy's shoulders are tired, that's too bad. Because I'm going to be on her rapid all the time. And that is what we need as a church. We need to get back to that place where we stand in unity. Not just we come to church and we sing and we have a cup of tea, we get the word and then we go off. Community is also about checking in. Seeing where people are at. If it's just a text, this is not part of my sermon, by the way, but hey. Just a text, because we don't know what people are facing. We don't know what people are going through. It's good that we have people that we can run to, and they're willing and they're able to do it. And we also have a Savior who is always there with his ears open and his arms outstretched to receive us. So what I gathered from this as well, you know, God is sovereign. So I just want to read this. These things that are highlighted. So one thing, some of the things that I got from this scripture is that God's supremacy over everything, not just over idols. He is over everything. And I know we might think sometimes like, God, where are you? Look at everything that is going on. But we know that God is always present. And even in the time of his silence, he is moving. He is at work. He might be silent, but God is doing something. He is never late. God is never late. God never forgets. He remembers everything because he is the master of time. We just have to be patient. And then it goes on to say, because I'm just going to be jumping back and forth, sorry. So then he said, they answered, have the ark of God of Israel moved to Gath? So they moved the ark of God of Israel. But after they had moved it, the Lord's hand was against that city, throwing it into great panic. So everywhere the ark of God went that it did not belong, devastation followed. So that also goes for us. We are not supposed to be in places where we do not strive, where we do not produce fruit. You know, I saw this thing and it was so true. Like, you can buy a bottle of water at one shot for 59p. Then you can go to maybe Morrison's, you get it for £1. Then you can go to Sainsbury's, you get it for £2. And you can go to other stores and the price just goes up and goes up. But what is the difference? It is still the same water, but it's where that water has been placed. The label on the supermarket, what it carries, what it represents, the way that people go in, how they shop, what they see, what they think, why they believe that I should buy your water for £3 from Sainsbury's just because it's there. But people do it because they class it as value. And that is the thing with us. We don't really understand our value on. And sorry, we still do not fully understand the value and the capacity of our God. Because if we really, and it's not only for you guys, it's to me, if we really understood God and the way he operates, we would not worry. When worry comes, we would just slap it aside right away. We would not fear. We would be in a happy place every day, or try at least to be in a happy place every day because of the Lord. When I was growing up, I had my aunt, and she always used to say, I worry about nothing, because God provides everything. And sometimes I used to think, like, because we were growing up, we were young, I was like, this woman is crazy. What's she talking about? She would sit and put a pot on with nothing to cook, and somebody would knock at the door. And she would say, oh, God has sent someone. But the greatest thing that she did that I remember, she was going to Egypt because she wanted to preach. She used to preach, and she used to wear those robes that, like, you used to see Jesus and them roll back in the day. I've got a photo. I'll get my brother to send it to me, and I'll show you guys where it was long. She just had this red robe tied to the side. And she was going to Egypt, and she didn't have any money. She said, Lord, I'm going because I'm going to do your work. And she went to the airport, and she's dead now. Long time. She's gone home to be with the Lord. And she went to the airport, and she sat there. And my dad was the one telling us about this when we were growing up, because it was his aunt, which my grandmother's sister. So I was like, why would she go to the airport if you've not got no money? Because to me, that's crazy. She sat there, but she prayed. The night before, she prayed, and she said, Lord, if you want me to go to Egypt and do your will, you will give me a ticket. And I kid you not, as there's a living God, she sat there, and they called her name for a ticket. That was the faith that my aunt and my grandmother used to carry. Because they were like, we know who God is. We don't play about God. When we say God is going to show up, God must show up, because we're using his word to bring him out. And as he comes out on his word, God has to show up. She never had any fear. She always used to say, listen, I have given you lot to God. Live your life the way you want, but there will come a time that he will grab you. And I'm telling you, I'm living in that season for years now where God has arrested me. And sometimes I'm like, Granny, you should have kept your mouth shut. You should have. And the funny thing about it, out of all my cousins, I am the only one who is walking fully with the Lord. Everybody else is just going helter-skelter. And sometimes I'm thinking, like, why do I have to be the person to carry the burden that I need to pray for this body and pray for that body? And God was like, you were given to me. And anything that is given to me will be used. And sometimes it's hard. Because sometimes I just want to be, like what people say, a normal person. But really and truly, we as children of God, we are not normal. Because we were not created to fit into this world. We were created to shine in this world. We were created to represent Christ in this world. We are only here for a period of time. And the same way that the Palestinians were afraid of the ark and they got rid of it and sent it back to the Israelites eventually, is exactly what Satan is trying to do with the children of God. He wants to rise an army up, and he's trying to rise an army up against the children of God. But listen, God said to Joshua, be bold, be brave, and be courageous, because I, the Lord your God, is with you. And the Lord said in his word, one will chase 1,000. So imagine if we continue to be close-knit, if we continue to unite, if we continue to pray, we will tear down the enemy and his minions. We will destroy them. But first, we have to start with ourselves. Come on, God. In the areas that I don't know you, let me know you. In the areas in our lives where things are holding us back from knowing you, Father, strip it away. I have come to the place that I've said to the Lord, Lord, if I walk this journey alone without my children, I walk it with you. Because at the end of the day, God is all that we have. God is all and he is in all. There's nothing in this life that we can do without God. Nothing. So we have to decide if we would be an outcast for Christ and know that we are going home in victory, or if we're going to walk this slippery slope that the devil has created in this world. Amen.
Amen.
So the last part of it was, as the ark of God was entering Ekron, the people of Ekron cried out, "They have brought the ark of God of Israel around to kill us and our people." So everybody knew that where the ark of God was coming, that devastation came. So they cried out and they made sure it was sent back quickly before it even entered. But they still had tumors. It was still cast on them, even though there was so much plague. Even though they were panicking and they knew what was happening, they sent it back. They still had the plague on them of the tumors. But what I love about it is that they said, those who did not die were afflicted with tumors, and the outcry of the city went up to heaven. Not that I'm happy that they died, guys. No. I meant the outcries. Where did they go? Up to heaven. And these were people that believed that their God and whoever else God was their God. But when the plague and the tremors come and destruction came, the outcries went up to heaven, because it is only God who can save us. There's not a man walking this earth that can save us unless God has given him the ability to heal you from some kind of sickness. And when God says this is it, that is it. Because God knows everything. Do you think that God did not know that these people, the Israelites people, would have done it again? That they would have rebelled? He knew, because it said in Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy 31:24-27. Moses said to the people of Israel, when Moses had finished writing the entire body of instructions in a book, he gave this commandment to the Levites who carried the Ark of the Lord covenant. Take this book of instructions and place it beside the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, so it may remain there as a witness against the people of Israel. So I don't know if somewhere along the line they forgot that this Ark was placed as a witness against the people of Israel. But this is why it would have been a witness against the people of Israel. For I know how rebellious and stubborn you are. God always has a plan. Think that God is surprised when sometimes when I wake up and I don't pray. No. He said, I knew you were going to do that. Get back inside and pray. God knows. But that's the thing about God. He knows, but he still loves us. He knows and he still allows us to make mistakes. But in those mistakes, he also wants us to recognize if it is a pattern. And if it is a pattern, to get it plucked out quickly, that it does not bear fruit. Just saying, guys, all to myself. And then Moses said, even now, while I am still alive and here with you, you have rebelled against the Lord. How much more rebellious will you be after my death? Moses knew it. Because Moses knew, okay, I'm here. I'm leading you. We've got God. You've seen signs and wonders. Moses went up to speak with God and came back down with a full white head and white beard. Now, that could not happen just like that. So they knew. They saw God part the Red Sea. They saw him. They saw God free them, part the Red Sea, and swallowed up all the Egyptians. They were slaves, and God brought them out of Egypt rich. Now, why is it that you would need any other God? Why is it that you would think that our God, all sovereign, is not sufficient for everything that we need? The God that said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and every other thing will be added unto us. He didn't say one thing. He said every other thing. So God already knows everything that we need, but we need to seek him first. Because if we only seek the hand of God, we're just looking for blessings. We need to seek the face of God that we can understand. Listen, I want a full relationship with you. When we're dating, when we're courting, we invest in that relationship. We spend time, we get to know, even in a friendship, even at work. So it's the same thing with God. The more time we spend, the more time we dedicate to him, the more we cry out to him, the more we lie on the floor and roll in your quiet time, however you communicate with God, that is building a closer relationship with him and preparing us for whatever is coming. Because I'm telling you, we have battles that we are going to be fighting, so we need to be prepared. Because if we are not prepared, we will fall off this wagon. We don't need to be in a rush to compete with anyone else, because all our journeys are different. The only person that we should be competing with is to be a better version of who God created us to be. I'm not going to say I want to be like Steppy. Nope. At all. Ain't happening. I ain't got that time. I am not that patient. I'm sorry. I wouldn't want to be Pastor Rob. Because leading a congregation is hard. Especially when you're still trying to find your bearings to lead yourself. To get it right. Pastor has been equipped. And I'm sure everyone agrees with me. He does a brilliant job in the best way that he knows how. And how God has equipped him to do it. And bless him that God has given him a wife that supersedes everything that we need as a mother figure in the church. And they both together has built a union where we walk together, and that is what we need. Because we need elders that will also intercede and intervene in our lives and speak life into every dead situation. Because we don't know everything. We are still learning. Every day, it's a journey to learn. And I don't know about you, but I appreciate when I am doing stuff that I shouldn't be doing. Or not bad stuff, guys. Don't be looking at me like that. Thank you. Like, if I'm not listening and complaining about things going on with the kids most times, there are times that step people be like, stop it. I don't want to hear it. It is you. Get yourself together. And I'm looking at her like, but I could be angry. But I'm not, because it is the truth. And we need the truth, because the Lord said the truth will set us free. And sometimes it's self-evaluation that we need to get us where we are, because we don't always see what we are doing until someone else points it out in our lives. And don't get angry, guys. Look into yourself and work on it. Because every day we need to get better and better in this journey. Because if Steppy's in the flesh and she can see my weakness, imagine what the devil can see and what he's going to do with it if I am not on track. Amen. So do not go looking for things that you don't need. Do not go looking for things that you do not acquire. Do not go looking for any false god. And I'm not saying that we go looking for false God, but we accumulate idols, our children, our spouses, our jobs, our cars, everything that we acquire. We think like, oh, it's mine. I'm holding on to it so tight. God said, listen, give somebody 10 pounds. I can't give them 10 pounds, God. I've only got 20. It's not your money. It's God's. It is God's money. It doesn't belong to us, because if God did not give us the ability to wake up every morning and go to work, would we have any money? If God said, when you go to sleep tonight, cloop, that's it. Where would that money be? Can't take it to heaven. You don't, and you better be sure that you are going to heaven, because money will definitely burn in hell. I'm just saying, do not be caught up in the things of this world. Like, I'm watching television and I'm thinking, like, I know we're not supposed to cry down leaders, but there's so many leaders out there that are bringing the word of God and they're leading people astray. And people do not know the word of God. They don't even search God's word for themselves. And they're just following blindly. I love what Pastor Rob always say. Research what I have said to you. And we guys have been here at this church for a long time. We know that that is one of his martyrs. Research what I've said to you. Do not just go by what I have said. I listen to people preaching and they're like, it's okay if you have a partner and you two are sexually active because you're both in the church. It's a lie.
Because God said, do not be sexual immoral, and you are not married, so therefore you are committing a sin. It doesn't matter if he's the deacon and you are the usher, it is wrong. Because God's word said it is wrong. And any time that you can accept your sin because of words coming out to a mere man's mouth, you do not know God. I'm very thing about that, because we need to know God. And we need to know his word. And we need to walk in that way. Because if we're not, the Lord said, you know what? He doesn't want us to perish. But we need to stop pushing it. We need to stop pushing it. His grace is sufficient for us, but do not take his grace for granted, because God doesn't play. You know, the Bible says God angers but for a minute, but that minute can feel like a lifetime. That minute can feel like a lifetime. And I would rather not be on the bad side of God. Yeah, I've got a bit of whiplash from before and everything like that, but anytime I'm getting out of gear and I feel like I'm walking on the slurry side, and I see God, like, oh, yeah, straight and narrow, God, I'm very sorry. Because we need to keep ourselves in check. And being a Christian, it should be fun. Pastor O said this morning, am I joyful? Are you joyful? If we have nothing else to be happy about, be happy that we have Christ. Be happy that we are counted among the living. Be happy that our names are written in the book of life. I've read John 3:16 so many times, but the other day I was reading it, and I think I was like in a very sad place. I don't know what was going on. But as I was reading it, I wept. And it was like, God, me, that mess up every single day. And it hit different. It actually hit different that God does not even care that I'm going to wake up and make a mistake. He just wants me to keep going. He just wants me to keep going. He just wants me to keep trusting him. He just wants me to say, you know what, God, have your way. Because your way is so much better than mine. I'm not going to say that walking with God is easy. It's not. And it's hard. But it is worth it. Because at the end of the day, when we can go into our Savior's arms and hear, well done, my faithful children, that is it for us. No more pain, no more suffering. I can't wait for the naked part, to be honest, because I don't like wearing clothes when I'm hot. And everybody's going to be naked in prison, in heaven, I believe. I don't think we're going to have any clothes. I don't know. But I think we're just going to be free. And for me, a white robe. Washed in blood. And we can't have that here. And it's not like we want the Lord to hurry and come for the world, because we want people to be saved. But we also want to have our time in heaven. We want to meet our Father. So let us not be like the Israelites, and let us not put God in a box. Yes, we have the church, and God is always present in this church. But remember, he is present everywhere else. And we do not need to come to church to pray to God. We can pray to him anywhere while we're walking in the car. We have that privilege that we can call upon the Father anytime. We don't need a specific time to pray. We can pray whenever we want. We don't need to hear a bell ring. We don't need to set an alarm clock. We can just say, Father, I need you. So may we continue to be in a place of submission. May we continue to be in a place of obedience. May we continue to seek after the heart of God and let his perfect will be done in us. Let us be willing every day to die to flesh and live to the Spirit of God, because he is all that we have and he is all that can carry us through. Amen. Amen. So we will close and pray. Father God, we just want to thank you for your word. Father God, we want to thank you for your faithfulness and we want to thank you for your goodness. Lord, we want to thank you that today we surrender our lives to you, O God. Father God, wherever we have waxed cold, we ask that you will set us on fire for you. Lord, we ask that you will take control of this week and go before us. Father God, and you would destroy every obstacle that will be standing in our way. There'll be no hindrance, no hiccups, nothing at all, Father God, that we would have a smooth week. And Father God, may you put us in places where we can minister to the hearts of people and tell them about your goodness, oh God, and invite them into our family to be a part of your kingdom. Father God, let your name reign. Lord, you said in your word, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that you are God. And Lord, we thank you that that time is approaching. And Lord, we give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praises. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.